Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to announce I'm collaborating with ARG Apparel on merch for Brocal Therapy. Now you can support BGT, look fucking dope, and make this shit a movement. To purchase your order, please go to brocaltherapy.com. And please, don't forget, take a screenshot of you listening to this episode on whatever podcast app you're listening on, put on your Instagram story, tag me at Stephanie Megan and at Brocal Therapy, and enjoy the show. Yes, bitch. Hi, this is Stephanie Megan. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Because therapy is too expensive. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
Constant tears. It's just his allergies.
Yeah, my dog has bad allergies. That's so funny. I feel like my dog is just like a character. Like, there's just, he's just, like, a ridiculous, like, person.
Well, yeah, even the name Rocky, it's, like, he just seems like he would own his own show.
I know.
Like, be the star of it.
Yeah. Like, or maybe have his own podcast.
It, like, he's a mini Steph.
I know, he's just, like, mini me. Anyway, hi, guys, it's me, Stephanie and Megan, your host of Brocal Therapy.
I'm finally here.
You're finally here. I have Bree motherfucking Raider in the building. Wait, can I say your last name?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Like, I probably should have asked, like, off air first. Like, is that okay?
Yeah, whatever.
You guys. So, I got a request from a listener. Her name is Alyssa. Shout out to Alyssa V is her name.
Woo, Alyssa.
Woo, 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 woo. And she requested I do a topic about young moms. And obviously I don't relate because I've never been pregnant. I don't have a kid. I don't even got a man. I need to find that one first. Yeah. So I like don't have any stories of my own to relate. So I decided to bring on. And I was thinking, I was like, who has kids? Mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of my friends.
Yeah, right.
But I chose you because I feel like okay, background story, guys. Like, we went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
And
High 09.
So fine. I know. Damn, give away our age.
Our 10-year reunion is coming up this year.
Are you going?
I don't know if anyone's planning it.
How do we find out?
We just hang out.
I know. I feel like, what's the point? We could just see each other on Instagram and just be like, I know what they're doing.
Exactly. Let's hang out at a bar one night.
I know, exactly. Lazy dog.
Yeah.
Just go to Lazy Dog. So anyway, we went to high school together and we've obviously have kept in contact since. I don't see you all the time, but I've seen you like, the reason why I chose you is because I've seen you through so much and you have blossomed to be like such a beautiful person inside mm-hmm. and out, of course. Mm-hmm. You're fine as fuck.
No, thanks.
But like, I've seen you just like, I mean, I'm sure anyone that knows Bree like could agree, like we've seen you really go through it and like it's such a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. you know, it's so sad, but it's such a like, oh, like you did. There's nothing but like respect, like yeah. fucking bow down to Bree, you guys, because like most of us who have been through the stuff that you've been through, like I question my sanity when a guy doesn't text me back, like, let alone like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to see you like, you know, to be a mom of two. And yeah. of everything that you've gone through of just being a single mom. And now that you know, you found someone now and you're getting married. So congrats,
yay,
bitch.
Woo, yay. October. Yeah.
And it's incredible. I mean, OK, so how old were you when you got pregnant?
So I got pregnant when I was 21. Yeah, it was like we found out a month after we started like hooking up.
I feel like people in middle America are probably gonna be like, 21, that's like not that young. That's fucking young.
It's young. Like, I had just been able to start going out to bars. Like, my birthday's in December 31st.
Yeah.
And I got pregnant that September. So I didn't even make it through the year, but it's okay. It was a good time in the meanwhile.
And how long were you only dating him for like a month?
Well, yeah, by the time we found out, we were dating like a month and a half. And we move things very fast, obviously, but
yeah,
you know, even before we found out, it was like he moved in with me, like it was like this whole thing that his situation.
You guys were really like in love, like I remember
yeah,
that.
It was pretty immediate. Like we felt for each other very hard, and like I don't know, like even before I had you know, we started like hanging out and stuff. Like every time I saw him, there was like something, like some connection there.
Yeah,
but he was dating someone and then I was kind of dating, so it was like we never really connected until when we finally did. It was like full throttle, like 100%, like crazy love, like not even right. Like the, you know, like the puppy, it's like no, we're like in it. So when I did get pregnant, it wasn't like abortion wasn't even an really? Option for
yeah,
us.
That was my next question, was like, did you even think about
yeah, like, I mean, his dad of course was like, oh, you know, like because we had just been dating for a month, but right. But you know, like I just,
and he wanted it too, like he was like, no abortion, let's fucking have this
well
shit.
Yeah, I remember when we found out, and I remember like my body was aching, and I actually found out because he got mad at me and we got in a fight because I was just so like in pain and I didn't want to do anything or whatever. So I had him, he actually jacked a pregnancy test from Target.
Oh my
so it was
God.
Like the most ghetto thing ever. Like it was oh pretty ghetto. Yeah. And then on top of it, we were meeting his friends at Buffalo Wild Wings to drink beer and like eat chicken wings.
Right.
And I took the pregnancy test in the bathroom. So it was like all ghetto. And
oh
so when
God.
I found out I was pregnant, I think I took it because I was like, there's no way. And then I took it and I was like, oh shit, like this is real life right now.
Right.
So then when we left, like, you know, it
you
was.
You found
like,
out a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
You should yes. tell your daughter that. You're like,
one day when she's older.
Yeah. Like, this
I'll
is
let her
I
know
found
the story.
Out.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember when we were driving home and we were parked outside our house that we're living at. And I remember specifically him saying like the words that reassured me, like we're making the right decision, was he was like, I just wouldn't want to kill anything that is as beautiful as you. And like
wow.
it wasn't just like looks, it was like from like a personality,
right.
Like me as a person.
Yeah.
So that was like, all right, like we're doing it. And
yeah.
We did it.
Oh my God. And what was like when you had the baby, like what was your initial, like I'm sure that obviously has a drastic change, like once you have the kid.
Yeah.
Your life is completely, because I mean like yeah. I mean, let's be real, like when we were young
yeah.
and drinking, like
oh
Brie, we were fucking crazy.
Oh my God.
Like I was telling my roommate about this story of just like how we got like trashed in Hollywood and like left our friend Colleen.
Like, wait, that was like that was a rough time in my life.
Yeah.
That was after.
Oh, that was after.
Yeah.
Okay, but like even before, like the
I
house
was talking
parties.
About the
we always like got trash in house
story
parties.
Yeah. About oh my God, this is so bad.
Sorry to bring it up.
About how like I went into your room like trash as fuck, and like Nathan came in, and I like just pulled down my pants and started peeing
oh,
on
yeah.
your floor.
Dude.
And Nathan was like, no, that's not the bathroom. And he just said my eyes were closed and I was just smiling at him.
What happened was, I think.
And then the next morning, I remember waking up and you and.
It was Nadine, my friend Nadine.
Oh, okay. Both of you were talking like, man, that was a crazy night. Like, that was so crazy. And then I just like got him like, yeah, that was a crazy night. And you're like, what the fuck? I didn't even know you were in the bed.
You were in between us too. Like we were
like, no, my head was by your feet. So like you didn't even know I was in your bed.
That is so, yeah. That was like, that was us.
That was a hot mess.
All of us were.
Yeah.
I mean, we were, we were young. We were confused. We were
illegally like
drinking. Yeah. Like I would have house parties at like 19, like with all this illegal alcohol. Like what the hell was I thinking?
Honestly, I mean,
like underage drinking going, I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, to go from like this like crazy like lifestyle to like now having a kid. I mean, shit. I mean, I don't have a kid, so I only could see from like other people's like lives, and you know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, but like it's so much sacrifice.
Yeah,
so much sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you can't like be selfish and you have to like give yourself, and like mm-hmm. how was that change for
I
you?
I mean, honestly,
I'm sure that was rough.
Honestly, I mean, it was very difficult with Irie. Like, it took me a lot of adjusting because I was so young. Mm-hmm. She, you know, I did, of course, like, my number one priority was to take care of her.
Right.
But, you know, like, I was also dealing with my own stuff with Steven. And, like, he, like, you know, he put me through a whirlwind of emotions constantly. So, yeah. Like, my thing now is I feel almost guilty for her first year of life because I felt like I was very selfish because... Right. I was so focused on him and us and, like, you know, like, she was always taken care of, but, like, I really didn't embrace it as much as I wish I, now that I'm older, I wish I did.
Yeah.
But even adjusting, like, you know, drinking and, like, partying and all that stuff, like, it was very difficult. And especially with him because he was an alcoholic. So, like,
that was
very difficult to just kind of maneuver through, like, my feelings, his feelings, and then taking care of a baby. Right. So, you know,
Yeah.
But I eventually got it.
No, because I see you now and you're, like, such a great parent. And I'm, you know, and I'm sorry. This is going to be quite an emotional, deep okay. show, you guys.
Let it out, girl.
No, but I think it's important because, yeah. I mean, your story, God, I might cry. But this story is just, like, so crazy.
Just checking a tear. It's okay.
But I mean, do you want to talk about what happened with Steven? I mean, this is your life, so I don't want to, like, describe the story and okay. like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can do you want me to talk about, like, from beginning to end, like,
kind I of? Mean, yeah, I mean,
because there's a lot that goes yeah. into that. Like, it's not, I mean, just there's different phases, you right. know.
Give him the basics, I think, but also, like, whatever you feel comfortable with. Like, I don't okay. want to put you in a position yeah. that, like, if you don't feel comfortable about talking about something, you know.
Yeah, no.
But obviously lead it back to, like, being a young mom and all this. You gotta stay on topic. Yeah. You know?
I'll try. But, yeah, as I said, you know, he was an alcoholic. And for us, like, even when I was pregnant, like, we fought a lot. You know, he had a lot of emotional issues. Mainly because his mom, like, there was abandonment issues with his right. real mom. And then the mom, his dad remarried, and the mom that he basically had, like, you know, like, betrayed his dad. Like, there's a whole thing that went with his childhood.
Yeah.
That kind of his respect for women was just very minimal. So right. I know he loved me, but he was just very, you know, verbally abusive and very, like, you know, like, narcissistic, and just, you know, it was very difficult to, and it's not that I want to control him, but he was, like, you know, like, he did the most drastic thing in every situation. Right. Impulsiveness was intense and, like, constant. So, you know, kind of doing that during my pregnancy.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, just keep drinking. Yeah, so while, like, you know, dealing with that and trying to keep him level-headed during the pregnancy, you know, he was going through his own changes with, he was the same age as me.
Right.
And changing his life completely, and we got this apartment, and, like, this whole, you know, changing our lives, you know, there was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of intense, intense emotions. And then, you know, we had her, and, you know.
I remember you guys being very, like, on and off.
Yeah. So our fighting was very toxic. He was an extremely toxic person, and it wasn't because of me or the situation. It was just he had his own issues, and it was from growing up. And so because of that, you know, he was very toxic. So, you know, and I always kind of knew this, and his impulsiveness was going to be, like, the death of him. And, like, he basically, like, I remember so clearly St. Patrick's Day, and, like, we got in this fight, and, like, I remember, like, he left to a work party, and then, like, I was getting ready to go out and meet him somewhere, and he just didn't answer his phone. Right. And then he didn't answer his phone for 4 days, and then he just showed up, and he had a hickey on his neck. Oh. And that was, like,
oh, I remember this.
Yeah. And so that was, like, you know, he finally opened that door through his impulsiveness, and from there it was just downhill. And so, you know, we split up. I was a single mom. Like, he was, like, kind of in and out of our lives for about, like, 5 months. Irie was 10 months old at that time. And so I want to say that happened in March. So then we didn't actually get back together till September. And so, you know, by that point, I had been through so much during the summer because he was dating this girl and he put me through like very intense situations.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we figured it out, and I was honestly the best person I could be for him at that time, because right. I knew that he was impulsive. I knew what triggered him. I knew his emotions, and I knew them so well that I was able to hold back my own emotions and really like adapt to it. So, and because of that, he knew I was his best person, but he couldn't stop. So, but I ended up getting pregnant again with June.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in July, during the summer, he ended up getting that girl pregnant that he was dating. Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know this, Bree.
Yeah. It was this huge thing.
So was there another?
No.
Okay.
So basically, when she was 4 months, like, and it was a thing because it was like she got pregnant and then I got pregnant like a month after. And so like he was with me, but it was like he was going through that too. So,
oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so she ended up having a miscarriage at 4 months. And so that was, you know, he felt bad, but he also was like, okay, like I can live my life, you know, like it was just this weird, this weirdness. And so, but you know, he always has this impulsiveness. I don't know how else to explain it, but then he proposed on Christmas. We found out Jude was a girl like right before, and I didn't know, but he was like texting her during that time, and he was just on New Year's, like right before New Year's Eve, he wanted to like have a last hurrah, basically is what I came from it. And so he went down to San Diego with her, and you know, it was his last hurrah. He was texting me and like, you know, like saying all this wonderful stuff because he knew like it was last straw. They got in a huge fight. She dropped him off at a rest stop, and then he ended up getting hit by a car there. And so so after that, it was very hard because, you know, like I felt betrayal, but I also felt like a deep sense of loss. And like I knew what was in store for me.
Sorry, I'm just like a lot of tears. Oh my God, Brie. Yeah.
So you know, I had to be pregnant with Irie was 18 months when he passed. And
Broco Therapy is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I mentioned before that I went back to therapy, and that was the best decision I've ever made, because every time I leave a session, I do feel like I just got so much off my chest. I've been suffering with so much anxiety because I feel like sometimes I don't have time. I don't have time to get all the stuff done, or I feel like I'm not worthy of doing a good job of the things that I have to do. And I know that stems from a lot of ADHD. So talking to my therapist, she really gives me the space to just vent and have those emotions. And she validates that and gives me the tool sets to be able to continue my day and to give me that confidence to remind myself that, like, I got this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/brokegirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/brokegirl.
you know, I had to, I didn't want to move back into our apartment. So right. I left that, was trying to find a place, stable place.
Sorry, I'm like a mess right now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
No, I mean, pause. You are so strong for talking about this right now. Like, yeah. I just need to like give you like a round of applause because like, I'm like trying to keep my shit together.
Yeah.
You know,
like, you know, like that's the thing. It's like I went through, but I did so much stuff to heal myself. So I'm in a complete place of like, I'm healed. Yeah. And like, yeah, there's pain there, but like, I'm in a place where it doesn't hurt as bad anymore. So yeah. Like I went through a lot to fix that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was hard. Like I was going through all these hormones and then, you know, going through the loss of him and then raising an 18 month and she turned two and then I had to have a baby on my own. And right. Like,
and that was like, I remember just cause like, I feel like with our friendship, we've always been friends. It was never mm-hmm. like an out, you know, like, like you're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing.
Still connected,
yeah. But like we're in our different lives, you know, yeah. But then as soon as this happened, obviously like not only me, but everyone else was like surrounding you with so much love.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to keep my shit together right now without crying.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was so hard to yeah. see like
well,
you
honestly and
go
like,
through that with him.
Yeah.
And then to mourn someone mm-hmm. and to raise like a 1 year old.
Yeah.
And to be pregnant. Like it was yeah. just like, but what I loved about it was like, you still kept to like making sure that your kids were okay.
Yeah.
You know, and like yeah. regardless of everything that's happening. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay. My face is wet.
It's okay.
Regardless of everything, like I saw you, and what I think this is like really important too is like I saw you really like take care of yourself. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would. I mean, I definitely saw you cry and go through all that stuff, but also mm-hmm. like, you know, like you made sure to work out. You made sure to like eat healthy. Like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? You did things to take care of yourself because you knew that like it wasn't just about you. It was exactly. about Irie. It was mm-hmm. about Jude who was yeah. on the way, you know, yeah. like, and I like, that's like definitely where I give you like the best props because yeah. like in a situations of like mourning, but also like getting over like the betrayal is just like, I like put myself mm-hmm. in that situation. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, like I don't know what I would do, you mm-hmm. know, and to see you still like get up and like, well, I gotta feed Irie, I gotta yeah. like do this, you know, it was just like yeah. so incredible.
And I think honestly, like, and that's like two different phases of my life because right. I look at when Stephen was around and I look at that summer and that summer that he was seeing someone else, like, you know, I caught them in bed together and that was hard and I had Irie with me and I like, it was like the most traumatic, difficult thing in my life. And you know,
I've down this rose real quick.
You know, and I've like seen them together and mm. I and during this, like, and that was painful because I never have been cheated on before that, and I was the one sleeping with Irie every night. I was the one taking care of her. I was buying her everything. He didn't pay child support. He didn't do anything. And yeah. so like he was going through this phase and I had to just stand back and let him go through this phase, even though it hurt me and it hurt Irie. But, you know, like he had to do that. And, you know, we eventually figured it out and he still had his issues, but our toxic, like our fights and stuff weren't as bad. So that whole phase of, you know, I was a single mom with a baby daddy that was running amok. And like that was very, very hard for me. And then I went through the other phase where it's like, now I'm really single. I'm a single mom. Like there is no right. dad and it's just me and these two girls. So it's just like I went through two different phases of single mom in a year.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I felt like I had to learn a lot and I had to, you know, because I wasn't mentally my strongest mentally when he was around and he was doing that with the girl, because clearly yeah. like that's betrayal. That's a different level. But like when he was gone, it's like I can either be depressed and like sulk and like really feel these feelings, or I can just move forward and know like, yeah, it is about the girls and like that's what matters most. So yeah.
What did you do to like be able to just like motivate yourself? I mean, obviously the kids, the girls motivated you, but like, what advice would you give for, you know, women who are going through this, or even just going through like just having to be a single mom, even if it doesn't have to deal with like death or like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just, or like co-parenting yeah. or whatever. Like,
I mean, my biggest thing is making, like, I, especially after Jude was born, like, I took more of a spiritual approach, and I'm not talking about like church and, you know, all yeah. that. Because I'm not really into organized religion, but yeah. I really took an approach of just like doing meditation. I did a lot of yoga.
You did, yeah.
I did a lot of things connecting with myself mentally. And like, you know, there was, I started doing cycling, and I remember there was a song playing, and it was a song that reminded me of him. And I cried during the class, but like, I felt amazing after. And I was just, and also one big thing was I was writing in a journal every night for 6 months until Jude was born. And it was it was specifically to him, but it was like, you know, like some days it would be like, I miss you so much. A little, whatever. I love right. you. And then other days it was like, I fucking can't believe you. And it was just like angry, and it was angry. So it's like, I wish I did that when we were broken up and wrote him angry things every day in my journal, because that would have helped me take a lot of my aggression out. Yeah. But you know, I did it after he passed, but it really helped me get my feelings out. Like, I would cry writing in my journal, and I still have that journal, and it's like, you know, it really shows like the mixed emotions I had in the beginning. And then by the time Jude was born, it was like I had nothing else to write. So that really helped me a lot.
I think it's so good to like write down your feelings and to have a journal. Like, well, yeah, it's amazing to like look back and just be like, whoa, like I yeah. really felt that way.
And you're
you know?
Quiet. Yeah. And you're quiet. You're quiet and you're by yourself, and you're writing, and it's like your third person in your head. It's yeah. just like you and yourself. And like that really connects you with like how you're feeling, what you're thinking. And like, you know, I did that every night, and it really helped me heal a lot of angry feelings I had. So
yeah. And then Jude was born, and how was that like? Because now giving it's two birth. Kids well, birth. Not giving birth. I mean, actually the birth of Jude is really, I love that story, right. And I tell people that story too.
You want me to tell the story?
Yeah, tell the story.
Tell the so story. Her name's Jude, obviously. So I remember when we found out it was a girl, me and Steven talked for a while, and we're just like, he loved the Beatles. Like, he was obsessed with the Beatles. And I was like, oh, like what about Jude? And he was like, no, Jude, I like the name Coda, and it's basically a Led Zeppelin album. Yeah. Whatever. And I was like, Coda sounds too much like a dog name. So we never agreed on a name. But then after he passed, I was like, it was like in the car, and I was driving back from like a beach or whatever, and I was like, I really like the name Jude. And then Hey Jude played on the radio. So I was like, okay, that's a sign. Yeah. So I named her Jude Coda. Yeah. And so when she was born, like, they had given me an epidural too soon to like when I had to push, so I couldn't feel anything. So you know, when I was pushing, they saw like nothing was happening. And so the doctor, he had helped me, he knew the whole situation, because he was the same person for Irie, right, like birth Irie. So he knew us, he knew the situation, whatever. So he was very sympathetic to my situation, and he was just like, sat there for a while, and he like was like, okay, Jude, what song is that? And I was like, oh, Hey Jude. And then he was like, oh, how does that go? And he's like, start singing it.
Yeah.
Hey Jude.
Can I go over everything right now?
And then all the nurses started singing it.
Oh my
and
God.
Like, and it was like, and then my friend Emily was there, and she's like, oh, we had a laptop, and she's like, oh, let me just play the song. And so the entire room there, I don't know why, but there was like 10 nurses there. I think everyone knew my situation. So there's 10 nurses there. Yeah, there was two doctors.
Trying to make it comforting.
Yeah. And then like my friend and everyone in the room was singing Hey Jude while I was pushing the whole time.
Oh my God.
And so he was like having me push, and she was born during like the fourth na 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 na. And she was born. And it was like this like powerful thing. So when she was born, everyone was like, oh my God, she's actually born to Hey Jude. So
yeah. Oh my God, that's so
yeah,
she's gonna love that story.
I know, she's gonna think it's not real, but it is.
But it is real. Yeah. It's so funny because like my friend, sorry, off topic. My friend Rose. I don't know if you ever seen her or like on my. For those who listen to the show, like, know who Rose is. She's just like very like has such a big personality, and she was born on Halloween, and her doctor wore like a spider costume when she was born. So like that's just the story that she tells, and it kind of just matches her personality. It's like a doctor in a spider costume gave birth to her. So it's always interesting to hear that.
But I don't have anything crazy for mine.
Yeah. Well, mine was video recorded. Like I literally have like a video recorded tape of my birth.
Yeah.
So I watch it every year on my birthday. I like make a friend watch it every year.
Funny, what the heck?
I'm like, that's kind of annoying that I do that though. It's a little like,
I was like, I would never do that. It's a little
self-obsessed, but I just think it's cool to be like, this was on this day, you know?
I was a C-section baby. So,
oh, you were? Yeah. Fun.
I know. I just see my mom like drugged out. Like, that's the extent of mine.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird to see. She's like, oh my God. Okay, so yeah, so after Jude was born, I mean, what happened with that? I mean, now you have two kids. Like, what's the difference between having two kids and having one?
Honestly, I mean, it was a lot. Like, I could no longer hold Irie, and she was only 2 years old. So it was like, you know, I'm carrying a car seat, and I lived upstairs. So it was
I remember having to help you bring down the car seat, bring out, like, the stroller.
It was a mission to do anything.
Yeah, it's like people forget, like, single mom. Like, there's – sometimes I hear people being like, oh, I can't wait to be, like, a single mom. I'm like,
no.
That's – I mean – props to every single mom. It is a beautiful thing. But also, like, do you realize, like, how hard it is? And I always reflect back to, like, helping you take down
a double stroller. It was a double stroller. And it's not just, like, it's not just straight stairs. It was, like, like curved around. Yes. So it was, like, we had to maneuver it.
Yeah. While having, like, two kids, you know, and, like, a newborn, a two-year-old, you know. So it was, like.
Yeah, and it's like
I think about that. I'm like, it's not easy, you guys. You have to bring the stroller down the stairs by yourself.
And that's the thing. Like, even like the daily task every like, you know, every day, it's like taking the trash out. It's like I'm in the middle of cooking dinner. I'm trying to put a kid to sleep.
Right.
Trying to calm another kid down. I put like a trash bag because I'm like, oh, I'll take it out on my way down. I put it right outside my door, and I lived in a complex, and I get written up by HOA because I have trash. And it's like people don't understand like what goes it's the little things that add up exactly. And so it's like even like going grocery shopping, that's a freaking ordeal, getting kids in, getting the and especially during summer because Jude was born during summer, so it's like 100 degrees, have to take the kids up, run downstairs, grab all the groceries, make two trips, and then, you know, put everything away, deal with the kids. And it's just like it was a constant. That was just my daily life. And then I got a month after Jude was born, I got a second job at a restaurant. So I was working
two jobs.
Yeah, I was working at the preschool during the day. And then at night, I would work at the restaurant, and I would work till 2 or 3 in the morning. And I remember Steven's dad, he would actually come over and stay over because he wasn't working at the time.
Yeah.
And he would just sleep on my couch. But he would watch the girls when I worked late and then put them to sleep or whatever. So then when I got home at 2 in the morning, he'd be asleep on the couch. He would clean up a little bit and then I would go to sleep. So I had support there, but it was just long hours. And I, you know,
it's hard because it's like, although you had a lot of support, which is such a blessing, but it is hard to like even ask people for support. I'm sure it was like difficult for you to be like, can you help me, like
and also like I missed out like a lot on, you know, Jude's beginning of her life because it was like I was working so much, but it was like I had to, you know, I was paying for an apartment on my own, like I was, you know, paying for all the groceries, I was doing all this stuff. So, you know, it was a lot, and I worked my ass off. And it eventually paid off because then, you know, when Jude was almost one, one of the moms at the school approached me and offered me the sales coordinator position for the hotel.
Yeah.
So that changed my life completely. So I was able to really create a career out of that and not work two jobs. So live a normal life now.
I'm over here like working two jobs. It's okay. I don't have kids. I just have a dog. Yeah. Who like kind of smells bad right now. He said he was ugly.
I know. He's an ugly cute.
thank you. Oh my God. I mean, if you could like go back and change things, would you have a baby like later on in life, or do you like actually doing it as a young mom? Because we were talking about it earlier over a cigarette. Well, I was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
You were saying about how, you know, like you have a lot of energy for these kids. I mean, that's like the perk of being a young parent, because even my parents now are like, Steph, you're going to have kids when you're old. Like, you're going to be tired. Like, hopefully I'll have nannies.
Yeah.
But, you know, so would you go back, or do you think
Well, I think obviously I have my kids, so I would never go back. But like I you know,
what would you suggest?
I mean, obviously do whatever's right for you. I'm happy that I had kids early, and I feel very privileged that I was able to do it early the way I did it, because it really, like, I do have a lot of energy, and I'm more real with them. Like, I don't treat them like babies. I treat them like little adults, and like, you
they're
know,
they're so mature, you guys. Like,
the type of conversations we have.
Like, wait, tell them what question Irie had for you the other day.
Oh, Irie, she has asked me multiple times.
She's like a very spiritual, into crystals, like, type of little girl.
Yeah,
I love
her
it.
Favorite crystals, amethyst and rose quartz, and she knows rose quartz is a love stone.
Oh my gosh, she's like my favorite. Like, I love the rose quartz.
If she needs grounding, amethyst is her go-to.
Oh my god,
she has a crystal book that she sleeps with.
Oh my god. Yeah,
like it's like an obsession. So.
Yeah,
and she does like. She goes to yoga camp. She like loves yoga.
How old is she?
She's 5.
Yeah. See, when I was 5, I was like into Spice Girls.
I know, me too. I'm like, what am I raising right now?
I love it though. I love it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, her question, she's like, Mom, how did I come to exist? Or no, not how did I, how did we come to exist? Like, okay,
so
girl.
Deep and like spiritual.
Yeah. So I don't even know. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
She's a hippie baby.
I know, and the way I dress her is just like very, yeah. I dye their hair pink.
Cute. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it's vegan, all natural, don't worry.
Like, calm down, you guys.
Yeah, it's not box dye.
Yeah. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, now they get it. Yeah. I think my listeners are pretty chill. They're like, I do that shit too.
Yeah, but they're really cute. They have like this bright pink red hair. Yeah. Like, it's just like the top is brown and then it fades into like bright pink. And like, everyone's always like, oh my gosh, like, how do you do that? And I'm like, yeah, it's $12 on Amazon.
Yeah. And it makes them happy. Yeah. So
they love it.
Yeah. So like, do they understand that, like, obviously Steven, the real father, because you are obviously in a different relationship. You're engaged now, which we'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But do they understand like that their real father isn't here, and that their dad, mm-hmm. who their dad and their stepdad or Trevor.
He's dad.
But like, biological father isn't here.
So Irie, it has always been very intuitive. Like, she's always
fucking Irie, dude. Love her.
I mean, her name, Irie. Yeah, I know. she's known, like, you know, I was really worried when he passed, like, she would ask me questions like, oh, like, where is he or whatever. But like, after, like, the day after it happened, she never once asked me where he was.
Wow.
But she would say things like, She used to point at her heart and she'd be like, Dada.
I remember
and
that.
And then point to the sky and then point back to her heart.
Yeah.
And she'd just say, Dada. And like telling me that she's in, like, the sky and in her heart.
She understood that. Yeah. Like, fairly.
It was weird because it was like, I was so worried about her that like, she completely surprised me. And it was like, no, like, he's not here, but he's like, she saw him, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Does she still remember him? Like, does she have, like, visual memories
of
him?
She doesn't remember him. She only remembers videos that I show her, pictures. Like, she knows who he is. She knows the situation. And I've been honest with her. She wanted to know how he died. And I told her, you know, like, he got hit by a car. And that's, you know, that's what happened. And he's in heaven. He's in your heart. You know, he's still around protecting you and stuff. And so, you know, and she understands, and she's very, like, you know, she right now she's focusing on how to explain things to Jude.
I love that.
Yeah. She's like really trying to maneuver around, because she used to talk to him a lot, talk about him a lot to Jude. But Jude doesn't understand that the word Steven was a person rather than, like, that's another word for dad.
Yeah.
So it just got very confusing for Jude. So she backed off a little bit and was like, okay, like, let's not talk about him right now until she's a little bit older.
I love that they're like toddlers talking about like death in such a mature, like, spiritual way.
And that's who they are. They're very, like, I got I went to a medium, and, you know, she expressed
Love medium stories.
Oh my gosh, well, girl.
Yeah.
Me and Trevor went to a medium, and
Steven
came through, and
explain the story. I do remember this.
All right, well, Trevor's my new guy.
Yeah, Trevor's her fiance.
Fiance. Yeah, so we went to a medium, and the way we found her was like our boss, like she was a client through like work situation, not even anything to do with medium. And like my boss went through like some crazy stuff with her dad died and her brother died within a month apart, like this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And this medium basically like during this client meeting was like, hey, you, like your dad is saying all this stuff, and just kind of like knew nothing about her. So I knew she was like legit. So they set up like a group reading with like my boss, Trevor, and like our coworker, and she knew nothing about us. Like we weren't even on the there was no way for her to look us up or right. anything. So during the thing, we were obviously very nervous. We drank a margarita before because we're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, gotta loosen up.
And the whole time I was like, I was saying in my head, Steven, don't come through, don't come through, don't come through. And so, you know, like she moved us around because she's like, there's a lot of intense feelings here. She moved us around where me and Trevor are in the middle. My boss is on my side, the coworker on the other side. She's like, you guys need to be supported right now. So basically Steven came through, first one to come through, of course. And like,
he's like, I got shit to say.
Yeah. And like, you know, there was like some intense things said. She brought up the fact that, she said, like, you know, she was talking about the kids, and she said that basically he put himself in the stronger child, and it's not necessarily like the older one. It's just the child that's stronger. And if anyone knows Iri and Jude, Jude is like a freaking like tank. Like she's crazy. Yeah. She's freaking crazy.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, that makes sense. Like I was pregnant, whatever. And then she was saying like basically, you know, she's like, he's giving me the sense that you're moving on. Have you started dating? And I was like, yeah, like I am dating actually.
Yeah.
And like, she had no idea me and Trevor were dating. So, yeah. She's like, okay, well, he likes this guy. He's going to be dad for the girls. Like he's, you know, like,
I'm gonna cry again.
Yeah.
Sorry. I would just have a little bit of she's
like,
rosé.
Yeah. And she's like, I actually see another kid for you guys.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so
and like, I remember you telling me like, I don't want any more kids, but yeah. As they get older and obviously you and Trevor get married.
Yeah. We'll talk
okay.
about that.
Okay. But, okay. There's just so many things to cover.
I know. Yeah. So basically, yeah, so that all happened. And then she brought up the fact that like, you know, the way he passed, like he was just there and then he was gone. And she's like, he's giving the sense that everyone was working on him and they're working on him trying to bring him back, but he was already gone and it happened like that. And then she brought up the fact that he wants to say sorry for stabbing you in the back and he feels so bad for stabbing you in the back.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And then Trevor's grandparents came through and was like, oh, like she's like, oh, are you dating anyone now? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, well, she's like, I see this whole path for you in this whole life. Like I see a wedding, I see kids, like oh I God. See like all this stuff. Like this is a path for you that like, you know.
And like, you guys were like freshly dating, right?
Freshly dating. Like we were dating for like 5 months, but for that, like he had just met the girls, like or yeah. six months. And
so,
he had just
so
met
new.
The girls. Yeah, it was fresh. And then she was like, oh, your grandma's pointing at both of you. Like, is there something going on
oh
between
my God.
You two? And we're like, yeah, we're dating. And she's like, what the heck? Like this whole time we've been talking. And
yeah.
Like, yeah. So she really helped our relationship reach a different level because Steven was basically like, not the taboo thing to talk about, but we just didn't talk about it.
Right.
And it really brought it out. It's like, no, this is Steven like talking directly to him. Like, you're going to be dad. These girls are going to call you daddy.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and he accepts him,
that's
you know.
So beautiful. Yeah. Oh my God. Sorry, I'm ugly crying. This is so sweet. Oh my God. Oh my God. I need a moment. Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh my God. My nose is running. My eyes are just like, everything is just like flowing. It's coming out. Oh my God. Okay. So now we'll Trevor, let's get into that. I mean, because I think that like the biggest worry that I could tell from that I assume actually, mm-hmm. and I could be wrong. I don't know, you guys from like single moms and young moms is like finally finding somebody, you know, mm-hmm. Not just finding anybody, but like finding someone who would be great, you mm-hmm. know, be someone who would be like a father figure, if not actually a father mm-hmm. to like their own kids.
Yeah.
And you got that. I mean, yeah. Shit, girl. Hell yeah. I mean, you deserve it. You deserve everything. Let me just tell you.
Yeah.
But like,
I mean, like, and that's the thing is, like, Trevor met Jude when she
was,
like... I can't
even get a guy to text me back.
Maybe he just got pregnant.
I'm just kidding. No. I'm not going to put that out.
Don't do that. I'm not advising you to do that. Okay. Maybe just get
pregnant.
Trap them.
Yeah. Like, stay with me. No, I'm kidding. I'm not doing that.
I'm not psycho.
No.
Don't do that. Yeah, no, it's, like, the thing with Trevor is... You know, Jude met him when she was 15 months old. Yeah. Now that she's 3, she's almost 4, she doesn't remember a life without him.
Right.
Like, she's, all she remembers is him as dad.
Yeah.
So he is dad. They call him daddy. Like, he, you know, he's watching them now. Like, he's just like, you know, he's really stepped it up. But it's just funny because that was my biggest thing was, like, I was so focused on my single mom, like, being, like, living my life, working 2 jobs, like, getting that hustle.
Yeah.
And then I remember, like, I randomly started crushing on him. And he was my manager at the time. Yeah. Like, he wasn't, like, my direct. Like, I didn't report to him. Like, it was kosher in our company. But, yeah, like, he was basically manager. And I was, like,
yeah, you have hourly to report to him. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I worked an event for him, and I just remember crushing on him really hard. And then I remember, like, I went out to a bar with him after the event I worked for him. And then he, you know, we hung out till 3 a.m. and I remember we hugged in the back of his car, like, not in the back of his car. We hugged outside of the car, and I was waiting for him to kiss me, but he didn't. And I understand now, obviously, because he was manager, and, you know,
yeah,
that would have been bad if I wasn't down, but, but he, you know, he just hugged me, and then it was kind of a long hug, and then he let go and he left. And I remember crying and bawling my eyes out because I was so confused, and it was like my first crush, and like the whole time I was crushing, right, I was like, I don't know how to maneuver these feelings. Like, I'm a mom with 2 kids. Like, how do I date, you know,
yeah,
and how do I, like,
yeah,
be okay with liking someone again, you know? So he knew I had kids. He knew the situation with Steven because, you know, my boss talked about it and stuff.
Yeah.
But when we started dating, I actually did not talk to him about the kids at all. I would never bring them up. It was just hard for me to find that.
It's a very vulnerable
middle ground
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't find
your
that
guard
middle ground
up. You're taking your
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, you know, and I didn't know, like, I'm sorry. Like, I feel like being a mom is not baggage for a guy, but a single guy that hasn't been dating, like, I don't know what they think about,
exactly,
like, dating someone with 2 little kids that are 1 year old.
And I'm sure every single mom could relate to that. You know what I mean? Because you don't know what these guys out here, like, are they going to run? Is it, like, you don't want to make it seem like, I'm assuming you don't want to make it seem like you're just trying to, like, find a husband right now.
Exactly.
You know?
And I didn't want it. Yeah, I didn't want him to feel like he needed to fill a role because I was that role.
Yeah.
And that was very hard for me to finally open up about it. But I remember we both went to Europe the same time. We planned it separate before we started dating. We just happened to both go to Oktoberfest.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I knew, like, we
something
were,
was aligning.
Yes,
something was just
totally,
like,
because I arrived in Munich, Oktoberfest, Germany, the day he was leaving Munich, Oktoberfest, Germany. And like, it was just like we both went, like, overlapped, like, our Europe trips. So it's like, he got back like 3 days before I did. And then when I got back, like, you know, like, we went to Big Bear together right when I got back. And I just, like, we were, like, laying in bed, and I was like, I want you to meet the kids. Like, I decided it was time. Like, I felt something different, because if we can survive 2 weeks apart from Europe and still, like, have a chemistry, have like be as close as we were, like, you know, I knew, like, he was gonna stay for a long time. So, you know, but that's, like, my biggest thing with anyone, like, being a single mom, being, like, trying to date someone, trying to find anything. My biggest thing that I learned between a toxic relationship, between dating around, and then finally finding someone that, like, balances you, that when you start that relationship, it's not hard. Like, there's no, like, wondering when he's going to text you. There's no, like, wondering, like, you know, what he's doing, like, what's going on. Like, it's just everything flows together so easily that it's just, we couldn't help but not, like, we were just together. Like, and we didn't force that. It just happened. And that's how good relationships start.
Yeah.
There's no questioning at all.
Yeah.
So that's
question
like
every relationship.
That's my preach about love.
No, I mean, that preaches to me right there. Yeah. 'Cause I question fucking everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we.
Now we, you're engaged.
We're engaged. We moved into a house a year and a half. Almost 2 years. No, yeah, a year and a half after we started dating. We got hooked up with this beautiful house in Santa Clarita. And then, yeah. And then, you know, I grew in my career and, you know, we've been living life, kind of figuring out how to live together. Yeah. And, you know, we went through a lot the first year we're living together. I actually had a miscarriage, like, oh, end of Christmas, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No. It, you know, it, yeah, things happen for a reason, because
right,
it
they're still gonna, like, even though, like, yes, it's now, it's like come together, there's still gonna be, yeah, situations,
yeah, and there was like through a lot of resentment, but like that, like, kind of it either makes you or break you,
right?
And like it brought us on a different level. Like, we had never gone through, like, I went through my own traumatic shit before, yeah, dating him, so I, like, you know, I grew as a person, and he never really went through like super traumatic stuff. So yeah, for him, like, that was very traumatic, and we went through that together. So we, aww, just kind of reached a different level.
Yeah.
And then he ended up proposing December 30th, actually, at Grand Canyon. So, aww, that was it, everything kind of came together after that. So
I love,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Bree.
We're good.
Sorry. I'm just gonna cry myself to sleep. Thank you. Okay. I mean, shit, thank you for coming on and just, like, doing this without tears. Like, how are you okay? Like, I mean, no, you've obviously had gone through a lot to get, yeah, to this point. And, like, I think that, like,
yeah,
I mean, like, I think that no matter if the situation is the same or not, like, everyone, yeah, can relate in some way, you, yeah, know, and, like, learn something from, like, really try to, like, be really professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I just, like, have nothing but, like, absolutely, like, so much respect for you, because, yeah, that's just, like, it's not easy, and you came out and you're just like, this is me, you, yeah, know, and, like, granted, there's still going to be situations in life or the rest of our lives,
yeah,
that we have to go through, but I feel, yeah, like after that, it's just like, you could only thing they could do is just, like, become stronger, you, yeah, know, so cliche, but it's so true.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing is, like, for me, it's like, I went through a lot, and it was a lot of fucking learning and stuff, but I look back on it and it's like, dude, like, first of all, like, it's so cliche, but it's so, like, life is short,
right?
Life is, you know, like, it's, you don't know what's happening tomorrow, and it's very cliche, but I resonate with that a lot, and I, yeah, live my life like that, and so my main focus is giving my girls the best life that I could possibly give them. So, like, if that's working hard, like, working long hours, doing whatever I can. So it's like, yeah, I can't afford, like, a Disneyland season pass, because that's what they want to do right now. And, yeah, I'm going to let them, their dreams come true, and do that for them.
Right.
So it's like, because I live my life like that, I get rewarded in my life and get, you know, I'm able to find real happiness with my kids and, like, you know, yeah, found someone because I'm happy with my life and my kids. And so,
yeah,
it's kind of a ripple effect. And, you know, I don't take back anything that I went through in the past. Like, I went through it for a reason.
Right.
And where I'm at now, it's like, being a single mom is freaking hard. It's so fucking hard. And, but at the same time, you're only going through this, this phase for so long, and you're going to learn so much from it. And, yeah, you know, you just have to keep trekking forward and thinking about your kids and, like, where you want to be, because you don't want to be in that situation forever, but it's, you know,
right,
it's where you're at now. So,
yeah. And it's crazy, because it's like, sometimes it annoys me when I hear people like, oh my god, I really want kids, like, they're gonna be so cute, and, like, dress them up like this, but I just feel like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't got kids, okay, so, like, I
shit on you,
right, like, but I see, like, what you have gone through, and I've seen, like, all my other friends who do have kids, and, like, the amount of, like, selflessness that you need to have, mm-hmm, you know, it's like, yeah, it's not about you anymore, and, mm-hmm, it comes to, like, the little things, like, yeah, like, bringing the stroller from, like, the second story down to the you know, first floor is, like, yeah, that's a fucking, like, that's a fucking,
and
that's,
and that was just, it's one glamorous little tiny event, like, that happens, exactly, every day, you know.
Yeah, exactly, that, yeah, it takes a lot. Like, for me, like, I, like, ran a bunch of errands, I'm like, I need a nap,
yeah,
I can't be doing that if, yeah, I had kids, you know what,
exactly,
I mean? So it's like stuff like that.
But the thing is also with that is finding your own balance and creating, like, making sure you're good too. So like working out, like whatever that is for me, it was working out, making sure my mental, like,
yeah,
like I wasn't going crazy, like making sure that I was doing the things that I needed to do to make myself feel good about myself. And exactly, like that really helped me be good for the girls too.
Yeah, because if you're happy, the kids will be happy.
Exactly.
Like, and that's literally what it comes down to. Yeah. So it's just like taking care of yourself.
And yeah. Yeah. And finding that strength, because it's like, when I was just by myself and just focused on myself, that was when I was happiest. And it wasn't like I was focusing on some guy running around, like, you know, I wasn't focused on what he was doing or what was happening with other guys. I was just focusing on myself and my kid. And like, I was able to really manifest a life that I wanted to live, and I'm living that life now.
I love that. Oh god, that's so inspiring. Like, do you want to plug yourself?
Plug myself?
Yeah, like an Instagram, right, if you want to. Yeah. You're like, I'm not like an influencer.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I guess you guys can look at me on Instagram. I'm not private.
Yeah, if you're comfortable with that, it's all up to you.
I mean, my Instagram is Bree Raider. It's so original.
No, it's cute. It's cute.
Bree Raider. B-R-E-R-A-D-E-R. Bree Raider.
Bree Raider.
I know people think my name is fake, but it's real. So.
Why do they think it's fake?
I don't know.
Because I'm so used to like your name that I'm like, it's Bree Raider.
I
like,
know. My friend said that. She told, oh yeah, I'm hanging out with my friend Bree Raider. And she's like, that's a name.
I guess that does kind of sound like it would be a character like in a comic book or something.
I know. I always hated it, but that's my name.
It's, no, it's cute. Okay,
my last name is... change it soon, I guess.
Yeah. You're like, I guess it's going to be different now. Yeah. I mean, my last name is Bitch Ara, so like... I think I got more shit growing up than Raider. Let's be real.
Okay, your name flows.
Cool. I know, Steph Bitch. Stephanie Megan, which is, okay, fun fact, my legal first name.
Really?
Yeah. If you look, so funny. Yeah, so it's not just Stephanie, it's like Stephanie Megan. Like Mary Kate, it's like Stephanie Megan. It's like my legal first name.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so different.
I know.
That's so funny.
It's like really cool, you know? Anyway. Follow me, Stephanie Megan, on Instagram, or go to brocotherapy.com. All that shit is there. Bye.
Bye.
Broke Girl Therapy.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.